14 representatives from Wisconsin's fellow Great Lakes states and Canadian provinces spent the last couple of days in this area.
They are delegates of the Great Lakes Compact Council and regional body, both charged with scrutinizing Waukesha's request to divert water from Lake Michigan. City leaders say that after years of fine-tuning their application, diversion is the only viable solution to replace Waukesha's current water source, deep wells that have become increasingly contaminated with radium.
Wisconsin's DNR gave the application its stamp of approval and in January forwarded it to its counterparts around the Great Lakes system. Yesterday, the visiting delegation held a public hearing at Carroll University. Lake Effect Susan Bentz was there, and now she's here with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Mitch.
Susan, what was significant about yesterday's session?
Well, the Conference of Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Governor and Premiers held the public hearing, and it was the only hearing. Some believe that with the importance of Waukesha's request to divert so much water, 10.1 million gallons per day, when they really get rolling in future years, there should have been additional opportunities for the public to address those decision makers face to face.
So I assume lots of elected officials were on hand.
A lot, yeah. Here's part of what the city of Waukesha's Mayor Sean Riley had to say.
The decision on Waukesha's application is not a choice between protecting the Great Lakes and providing safe drinking water for Waukesha by establishing a clear wall at the borders of straddling counties and by requiring return flow. The compact ensures that both goals can be met.
So that's Waukesha Mayor Sean Riley.
That's right. And then next up was Milwaukee's Mayor Tom Barrett. He believes Waukesha's plan should be modified.
We, the city of Milwaukee, has passed a resolution that is still in effect that says that we can negotiate over the sale of water to the current service area. I'm here today to say we are still willing to do that. I believe that makes the most sense for ratepayers, for the environment, for our utility, for everyone involved. What we have is a clear difference between state law and federal law. And my read on this is federal law is going to trump the state law.
So Mayor Barrett is referring to the service area that Waukesha plans to cover?
Correct. Waukesha's application is built on the premise that it must extend its water service outside city limits, and that would include portions of the towns of Waukesha, Genesee, and Delafield. Wisconsin's DNR concurs, saying that state law requires a water service supply area and that it must match a regional sewer service area. It gets pretty sort of wonky
here. A little
technical, yeah. But the law is written into Wisconsin's Great Lake Compact Implementation Plan. And part of the debate is that that is not part of the Great Lakes Compact itself. The mayor of Racine, John Dickert, was there as well. Mitch, he's concerned about Waukesha's plan and its return flow. Waukesha wants its affluent to travel via the Root River on its way back to Lake Michigan.
We do not want what the DNR will allow to come down the stream. Additional pharmaceuticals, chloride, phosphorus, microbeads, you name it. While that may be acceptable when it comes to discharges, I will be frank with you, we don't want it. And we don't want it because that not only runs through this heartland of our city where all of these activities are going on, but it empties out into the lakefront next to my North Beach, which is an award-winning beach.
So that was Racine Mayor John Dickert. I guess water conservation was also a point of discussion at yesterday's hearing?
It was. In addition to proving that Lake Michigan is its only reasonable water supply, Waukesha has to implement an aggressive conservation program. Karen Hobbs was there. She's with the Natural Resources Defense Council, its Chicago office. And she says Waukesha is not doing enough.
The measures they've had the greatest success with have been mandatory measures. They were introduced in 2006 and 2007. But no mandatory measures have been introduced since that time, despite their clear evidence to their effectiveness. Instead, Waukesha has largely relied on voluntary measures and education. And while both of those are important, to be sure, they are not signs of a robust and dynamic plan.
Mary Edelmeyer was among the people who said that Waukesha's conservation plan has come a long way. She works for Waukesha's water utility.
In 2006, Waukesha Water Utility was the first municipality in the state of Wisconsin to implement an annual sprinkling ordinance. This ordinance applies to all the customers in the city of Waukesha. It goes into effect in May through October, and the bans all daytime sprinkling between the hours of 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. On average, Waukesha uses less water in the summer than it did before these tools were implemented, even during the extreme drought conditions of 2012. When comparing Waukesha's summer use to its neighboring communities, who have the same weather conditions, Waukesha uses a lower proportion of water in the summer than its neighbors.
So based on what you heard yesterday, did support outweigh opposition to Waukesha's diversion plan?
Based to my unscientific tally, Mitch, it appears really to be very much half and half. In the opposition camp, it was striking that people traveled from neighboring Great Lakes states to express concern. That included Louise Seagroves. She's with the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy.
We need a strong compact and we need a strong council in order to hold every state accountable to the other states in the basin and to protect the valuable waters from individual interests and individual agendas. Prior to working in advocacy, I worked for years as an environmental review and permitting specialist. I worked on large infrastructure projects with complex natural resource impacts, so I'm familiar with the kinds of trade-offs, the kinds of constraints that projects like this one face. I've drawn on my experience to take a technical look at Waukesha's proposal, and this is what I see. The City of Waukesha has developed their request relative to their growth and development goals. The Wisconsin DNR has evaluated the proposal relative to their regulatory obligations. And now really it's up to the council, and we're relying on the council to ensure the kind of accountability that the compact represents.
Lynn Broaddus is a Wisconsin voice. She formerly headed the Johnson Foundation at Wingspread's environment program, and Broaddus urged the Great Lakes delegates to consider innovative ways to manage Waukesha's water challenge.
Waukesha's alternatives analysis was done in 2002 and only seriously examined additional wells as an option for new water sources. While time stands still with the analysis and options presented, the water technology revolution has been moving forward. Today, there are companies making turnkey technologies that you can buy. They're about the size of a washing machine. These are standalone units that can recycle gray water from homes for use in outdoor irrigation or for toilet flushing. They're being used in neighborhoods in California. Rainwater harvest, using technologies to capture rainwater at the building scale and treat it and use it on site for both external and potable use, is being used in Austin, Texas, and other parts of the country to supply their water when groundwater becomes scarce. There's no reason why we shouldn't be able to use those here.
Mitch, I know we're running out of time, but I want to share the shortest and most succinct vote in support of Waukesha's plan.
My name is Valerie Kramer, town of Oconomowoc in Waukesha County. I'm here in support of the city's application to borrow water from Lake Michigan. I have lived in the county for over 30 years, and I come from a family of avid hunters and fishermen who have been watching this project unfold. We are concerned about Wisconsin's wildlife, lakes, and rivers, and believe the project is the best option with the least impact on wetlands and other natural resources. Thank you.
So, Susan, after all this discussion and all this time, the Great Lakes decision-making process actually moves fairly quickly from this point. The state and provinces will meet next month, or April, rather, in Chicago.
Right. And then officials will, from the Great Lakes states, are slated to meet again in Chicago about 30 days after that to make a final decision. In order for it to be approved, all eight states must agree. But for now, people should know that they can still comment on the proposal, whether they like it or not, and that ends on March 14th.
Susan, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Susan Benz is WUWM's environmental reporter. You can find more of her coverage of water issues at WUWM.com.